for some background information, your full name?
Robert Gerald Hayes.
And your date?
Esquire, B.A., S.M.U., 73. I make sure we get it all in. R.C.N. retired.
What's your date and place of birth?
Paris, Ontario, 29th, the 3rd of 33.
Okay. Could you describe your educational background?
Oh, B.A. St. Mary's, 73. After I came out of the Canadian Navy, so I suppose that would be part of my educational background. I was in the Navy for 7.5 years until 1958. And that's the year I went to St. Mary's, in the fall of 58.
Okay. So how long have you been associated working there?
We started, or at least I was first associated with the university. I was playing football when I was in the Navy, and I came over there and helped Elmer McGilvery, a priest at St. Mary's, a Jesuit priest, coach his team a few times because they were going to a championship. And that's where I made the first association back in 1957. My association with St. Mary's was through Elmer McGilvery and some of the other priests who were interested in sports.
Mm-hmm. So how did sports develop while you were there?
Well, we started off with 200 odd students in the university, and we had more representative teams in those days than we do in these days, in spite of all the noise you hear about how many teams we have. They weren't of the caliber, without doubt, because there was 200 and some odd students there, so just about everyone played.
What sports were playing?
Well, we had two football teams, a junior varsity and a varsity football team, and we had two basketball teams at one time, two hockey teams at one time, and we played in tournament sports, as they called them then, in volleyball, and swimming, curling, golf, track and field. We went in them all, but the caliber, as I said, the level of competition wasn't what it is now, and consequently the money wasn't as heavy, the outlay expenditure wasn't as heavy as it is now either. So it's more specialized. Many of our students played two sports, hockey and football, very common. And basketball and football was not uncommon. Although Frankie Baldwin, who was the basketball coach for many years and worked there when I first went in 1958 as an employee, he ran the bookstore. He was the manager of the bookstore, manager of the canteen, coached two basketball teams and various other activities. So whatever I didn't coach, Frankie coached. And I think they've got about 400 or 500 people replacing the two of us up there now, at least for the bookstore and the canteens they have.
So as the school grew while you were there, what changes took place?
Took place outside, of course, that affected us inside. I was very happy with the Jesuit priest running it and it being a non-coeducational institution. I liked that, and I had great respect for the Jesuit fathers who were educators and all-around sort of guys as far as I could see. And many of them were good friends of mine and my wife's. And as fewer and fewer priests were available to teach there, it became more difficult to recruit faculty, and more lay faculty came in, and we became coeducational in the 60s, I believe, after a long battle with Mount St. Vincent with the late Father Belair and the president of the Mount, whose sister's name escapes me, fortunately, and they were at loggerheads because we were trying to amalgamate those two universities, St. Mary's and Mount St. Vincent's, which, of course, doesn't make any sense to anyone that we shouldn't have two universities, mm-hmm. Catholic universities at that time. I suppose ours is still Christian, but whether or not it's Roman Catholic, to the degree it was then, I know it isn't. Not that that makes it bad or good, but it's different. And we lost that battle. I think our president and the Mount president could not see eye to eye or ear to ear or any other way. And they went their way and we went our way. And then we became coeducational, of course, and we grew rapidly and expanded rapidly and stayed in the black, which is most important to universities and governments and the students as well. So those are some of the financial changes, of course, the student body and the faculty union that came in. And I remember the great Art Monahan, who I consider a friend of mine, trying to encourage me to join the union. I'm not a union person. I'd never joined it. And not that it should have bothered me, but I felt that the unions took away the atmosphere that we had. And maybe you couldn't have held it anyways. We became too big. But it became an issue of administrative versus faculty and students versus administration and students versus the faculty union at many occasions. In fact, I remember the faculty were going to go on strike one year, and a most unlikely guy came to talk to the student council president, because at that time I was director of student services as well as the athletic director. And I heard this conversation, and he said, this faculty member who will remain anonymous said to the president of student council, just go up and tell them if they don't teach, then you'll promote the transfer of students to Dalhousie University, and there wouldn't be any students here for them to teach. And I think when they brought that to the faculty union's attention, and to the moderates and on the union, who really didn't approve of what some of the actions they were taking anyway, but didn't say enough to stop them, that brought that to a head, and the faculty union backed off, and there was no strike. And they didn't get all their demands, but it was a very tough time there at St. Mary's for 3 or 4 years. And the other universities were taking advantage of us, because they could point the finger and say, well, there's nothing but turmoil there. You don't want to send your daughter or son to the school that the faculty is going to go on strike or may go on strike. Well, that was a difficult time for the universities, and we got through them. And of course, as you're a graduate, recent graduate, you can see that when over 1,100 kids graduate, that's three times more than we're in, four or five times more students than were at the university when I went there.
So what effect did that have on sports, the huge number of
Well, the faculty union used athletics as a whipping boy and said that it was using too much money and it was cutting into their salaries. And it really wasn't. And since that time, I know the percentage of dollars per student that's spent on sports and recreation, athletics and recreation at St. Mary's has significantly increased, and I'm very happy that it has. But they use sports whenever there's not whenever, but many times when there is an issue on campus. As you saw in St. Evaix just recently, they were going to get rid of the football team because it was a financial drain on them, and they didn't, of course. And the University of Toronto is another example. Whenever there's a little bit of a squeeze, athletics certainly feels the brunt of it, and quickly.
What effect did the introduction of women have?
Well, it had quite an effect on, if just speaking from the athletic budget alone, it had quite an effect on our budget, because we were going to be involved in the women's athletic program and their intramural program. And I went to talk to the president, Dr. Kerrigan, who kept a very tight rein on funds of the athletic department and a good supporter of us too. And he said, well, you can have $5,000 to run a women's program. Now, that was a few years ago, but $5,000 to run three varsity women's teams plus the intramural program wouldn't even handle one team. And I said, what's going on here, Doc? There's no way. I said, we're already peeled back as it is. So he says, well, that's it. So we took money from the men's programs, which was underfunded, and put it in the women's programs, and we had two underfunded programs. And that went on for many years. It's when the tower was built, they put the operating budget up significantly, and I'm glad they did, because we were in the hot dogs and mustard. We certainly weren't eating steaks when we were on the road. So that women coming into sports had quite an effect on the budget, but it also had an effect on the general atmosphere, I think. It wasn't an all-boys or an old-boys club, as I'm sure the ladies would say, anymore. And there was fighting, or discussion, let me say that, controversy over the budget, because the basketball coach would want his share, and of course the women's basketball coach would want their share, or the field hockey coach or soccer coach. And there wasn't enough to go around. So it caused some conflict on the staff. I could speak as the athletic director on that one. But we got through it, and our teams were, to use a term I don't like, women's teams have been competitive. They haven't won too many national championships, but they have been competitive.
So how did the staff that you were in charge of change over
the years? Well, it changed over from Frankie Baldwin and myself to... Well, we did have a full-time hockey coach who was also the rink manager, and the basketball coach, Brian Heaney. I'm less good than before him. I was a full-time basketball coach, but he had other duties, but his primary function was coaching basketball, varsity basketball. So our staff increased, I know, by 7 or 8 people. And on the rink, of course, being built, when that came about, that increased the staff, because we had the rink personnel, the ice makers, and assistants in there. And when the student population increased, we put people in there for intramurals, a little bit more emphasis on the intramurals, not what they have now, because we didn't have the facilities. We had a real problem. We had all these students, and they could have pumped more money into the intramural program, but there was no place for them to play, unless we had gone over to Dalhousie and rented their facility, which they didn't want to do because they said theirs was full. So we had a problem there with a too many students for too few facilities.
Mm-hmm. So how did the students themselves change over the years when you were there?
Well, physically, you couldn't recognize them in the 70s, I'm telling you. They had to have that hair down to their ankles or they weren't happy. And I wasn't coaching them, but I used to look at our coach and say, boy, that'd be tough for me to handle. We had a basketball coach. He didn't let them have hair like that, but we had some football coaches, Al Keith, good guy, friend of mine, and he let them have the hair, earrings. I said, boy, Al, what is this? This is a circus? Those things physically change. And the kids questioning, you pretty well could tell them. I mean, the instructors in the classroom or on the field, you could tell a kid something, and he doesn't get into a philosophical discussion. He accepts what you've said, is for the most part, anyway. And that has changed considerably. The class attendance has changed dramatically. We really enforced it, and we didn't have an opportunity to go and play during exams. I'm talking 20 years ago. You had to be there during exams. There was no... games off campus that you could miss any classes from, and you had a set number of classes that you could miss, and if you missed too many, you weren't going to write the exam. So attendance, compulsory attendance has had quite an effect. I'm sure they'll say, well, it gives a responsibility to the student, but unfortunately, most of the freshmen, or many of them, aren't responsible when they come there, and they're sleeping in, and it's the regimentation to a great degree is gone. The parents send them there with different ideas now. They're not sending them to a nice Jesuit Catholic school to get straightened out and go out into the world of business as they once did. Mm-hmm. And I suppose you could use the word morality. That certainly has changed, because there wasn't that cohabitating to the degree that there is now, and it's accepted now. Accepted or not accepted, it's a fact. So that, of course, has had quite a change, but that's a reflection of society as well as the university's particular bent. However, Angel, what else could I say to you?
How about the ethnic origin of your students? Did that change anything?
Well, it was Irish Catholic here at St. Mary's, primarily. And a lot of the Jesuits were Irish, too. Father Hennessy, O'Donnell, and it run through Malone. Many of them were of Irish origin, and so were a number of the faculty were there too, as well, were of Irish descent. Now it's quite a mixed bag, and I'd say if on the religious grounds, then I'm pretty sure of this, that there'd be more than 50% of them would be atheists or non-Roman Catholics or agnostics. Where in those days, as a matter of fact, we had a football team one time that was kind of unusual because there was about 50% who were not Roman Catholics. And we had a game we played on St. Patrick's Day basketball with the mix versus the Protestants. It was a nice game. It was about 14 fights. I only had it one year. I said, well, I don't think we better do this again. Yeah. And I don't think we had, if we had two black students in there, we'd have more black students, I think, on our basketball team at one time than for any other reason we'd have them in St. Mary's. And now there's quite a mixture of it. Our international education program, I suppose, has attracted some of the Oriental students and their Asian students, I suppose they want to be called, so don't hold that one against me. I'm just a little old, like all of Oriental, but they're Asian. So the mixture of that is quite significant. And of course their ideas are there too.
Mm-hmm. So how about the age of the students? That change at all?
Yes, I'd say that I'm saying this without any evidence, but I think they're older. I think the students are older. Some of them are dropping out and coming back, but that wasn't... that didn't happen as often, I don't think, in those days. You went to grade 12 and then you came to Dell or St. Mary's. And now they're out for a year or two working, or they can't get into the university or some other reason. Or they're in and they go out and then they come back. That wasn't as common in those days. There wasn't that much flexibility, I don't think. Because they didn't have student loans, that had a dramatic effect on the student population, because when our tuition was $200 there, that was difficult for a student to raise $200 if he comes from the north end of Halifax, and if he doesn't get a job during the summer, $200 was a lot of money for them, and it was difficult for them to come to St. Mary's. And St. Mary's helped a lot of students who didn't have that money. I can tell you that. Father Bathurst was the controller at the time. And I know of kids who many times went to him and they didn't have enough money for meals and he'd help them out. Whether or not they can't operate that fashion today because of the numbers. But that was, I suppose you could say it was a more caring place because it was more personal mm-hmm. in those days. And the Jesuits were interested, from my perspective, in sports. That was... Men's Santa and Kapoor Santa was a strong mind and a strong body. It was one of their beliefs. In fact, it was in our university's charter in the first page at one time of our calendar, and it may still be there. Christian values and healthy attitudes and lifestyle. Not in those exact words, but that's what it meant. Mm-hmm. And remember, Angela, that the playing fields are the laboratories of the humanities. Guys like Burpee Hell hate me when I say that because that's one of mine.
You might not know Burpee Hell, but he's been there 200 years, I think.
I interviewed him last week.
Oh, did you? Well, he is one of the old-timers, and we were fortunate in that we have had people like Dwight Harold Baisley who stayed there, and an engineering and science guy called Ryan, Pinky Ryan, who was the Dean of Science, Dean of Engineering for many years there, and Al Sabine, who was our chemistry department almost at one time. They hung in there when the salaries were really low and made that school, some of those people, the lay professors as well as the priests who were there.
So how did your relationship with your student change over the years?
Well, mine changed because I wasn't coaching them. I was very personal with them, you know. I just didn't ignore them, come to practice late. I wanted to know why you came to practice late, and I don't believe you. So getting around that field about 50 times at a high rate of speed, and don't be late again. Now, you can't treat them that way, of course, but my relationship changed because I stopped coaching. Because it's a very close coach-player relationship as a coach-teacher. As a teacher, you can't get that close to most of your students, but you have to be fairly cognizant of what these people are doing because it affects their play on the field, and you become interested in them. You get too interested in them. You get too tied up with them sometimes, and it sort of takes away from your personal life because of all this massive family you've got who are your student athletes, and it's difficult to separate that. I don't see that same close relationship because actually, to use football as an example, we have a lot more players, physical bodies on the field than we had when I was coaching. We didn't have as many, and they can carry more players, and we have more funds to support them than we did have. So it's a little less personal, but there are more coaches in use football as an example. Larry's got 5 assistant coaches. Too many in my opinion, but nonetheless, so they've got a lot of assistants, but they're part-time, and they can't relate the same way as a guy who's a full-time university employee to the players, but they do relate to them, they do help some of them. Some of them are different than others the coach is referring to, and they can be more personal with them. But I don't think you're quite as close to them as you used to be because of numbers and just because it's the way it is. Mm-hmm.
So what do you think students want to get out of their athletic experiences? Do you think that's changed?
Well, some of them think they're going to become professionals, but very few of them ever will. But it's a dream they have. They have it when they're in high school. They have it when they're playing Little League Baseball or Little League or Minor Hockey. So there's that little bit. But there's some glory attached to it in their minds. And there's admiration by some of the other students, dislike by some of the other students, and by the faculty, likes and dislikes. So there's that. There's some ego involved there. And there's a chance to win, which is why you play, to find out who's going to win, as you're probably aware. Otherwise, you wouldn't go and play. You just flip a coin. That, to come back to your question, Angela, which was, why do they play, or are they different now? Give me that question again.
Do they want to get something different out of the experience?
Well, if there was any chance they could be paid, they'd certainly want to do that if there was the scholarships available, and there are in some universities, and there are a few in ours, some assistants there in the second year that they can get. But they'd be much better off putting their time into, if they put as much time into their studies, actually studying that they put in that athletic activities, their average would increase, and there'd probably be a number of them who would be scholarship students who aren't now, because it does take something away, but it also gives you something. And I'd say this as a biased person in favor of athletics under the right circumstances, that it does make a person a better person. It's something that a lot of people don't experience it at that level, at the university varsity level, because they just don't have the talent, and everybody can't play. Everybody doesn't have it. But it's quite a good feeling if you happen to be on a team, the camaraderie and fellowship, or I hate to use that word fellowship because there's women playing sports, but I'll use it both ways. Both teams, or men's and women's teams, there is a unity there that may help you when you're out in the big world trying to get a job. So there are some benefits. And if I could try to get a hold of this, I think it's important that the non-student athlete, the kid who comes and watches a game, has the impression that these are some people that they'd like to be. They'd like to go out and play. Most of the students that go to those games wish they were playing that game, male or female. One of the things that I did forget in attitudes towards me or me towards student athletes, which I don't have any now as I'm not at the university, but I always felt that the women were easier for me to accept. I mean, they're not always swearing in the dressing room, and they're not the same way as guys are. I kind of, like, now they're going to be, because they're demanding everything that guys want and have, and I think that that'll change. But there just seemed to be a difference, and they were having fun. And they might cry after they lost the game, but they had fun, and they weren't looking for reward. They'd go out and sell cookies to raise money. Now you can't get these guys, that football team, to go out, or the hockey team or the basketball team, to make cookies or have this to raise the money to go on a trip. But the women did at one time at St. Mary's when they were first starting. They used to, I can remember Kathy Lane and Helen Castlegate raising money to take them to Bermuda to play field hockey, or to go to England to play some other, or get involved in some other activity, basketball or whatever. And I don't think you could do that with, couldn't do that with men. You could do that 30, 40 years ago, but not now. And I don't think that that'll last with the women. I think they'll say, oh, we're not going to sell, make cookies and sell them just so we can go on a trip. Mm-hmm. Let the athletic director raise the money. But it was refreshing to have those women with that attitude. And their women coaches, too, didn't mind. They minded, but they did it anyway.
Did you ever have any reactions from the other faculty members, like negative or positive, towards these?
Both, athletics? Yes. I've had them both. One who remained unnamed, but as you're aware, that many of the priests, when there was a changeover in the church, many of the priests got out of the organization and got married. One of them happened to be a priest from St. Mary's, who used to be on my case quite often about the violence of football and hockey, etc., etc. So I was, a number of years went by, this priest got out of the order and married, and I was in the arena one day, and our hockey coach was Boucher, and he said, hey, guess what? I said, what? He said, you know who was out in this office? And I said, no. He says, Father so-and-so. He said, he's married now, and he's got a son, and he's enrolling him in our hockey school. I said, you kidding me, Boucher? I said, make sure that we get a hold of him and lean on him and tell him his dad's a jerk. I tell you that. Yes, there was. And some with, some because we didn't communicate, I don't think, as well as we could have. Partially because we weren't in the union and we weren't faculty members. So we were branded as administration. And if there was some conflict between the faculty and the administration, we were in that bag. We were thrown in there, and that would bring them to sit. Well, it brought some of them out of the woods, you know. I thought that they had no opinion about athletics, but I found out they had quite a strong negative opinion, and some who would support you, but not as many as the naysayers that would come forth under any kind of administration-faculty conflict. You'd certainly find out who your friends were. We had one named Danny McGinnis. I don't mind putting his name down. He's not with us. He went to St. Avex, but he was a faculty member, and he did a survey on athletics, and it was aimed at academic inexcellence, non-excellence, to prove that such and such has happened and that the academic level of the student athlete is not that of the average student. And I think he went to St. Avex because it was such a terrible paper that he did. And it was widely circulated amongst the faculty and administration, and the president got it. So we did a critique on that ourselves. And we pointed out some of the people whose marks he'd got back from 1955, I think he went back to. Some of them weren't even students at the school, and he'd taken pictures of the teams, and they'd be playing at our teams, and they weren't a student. I said, boy, this is a little bit of inaccuracy in the part of the social department at St. Mary's, but he did a very bad job, actually. I don't mind saying that on tape. And this critique, which wasn't circulated, but gave it to the president and a few of the deans, and they didn't say there was anything wrong with our figures, so there was some negative feelings there, not only just verbal, but some guys who really went out and chased us to try to get us. And of course, it's like having your picture put in the paper and saying, this guy beat somebody over the head with a baseball bat. If there's a retraction 6 months later, you don't remember that. You only remember what you saw in the paper about the baseball bat. Mm. So that's what you're asking. Now, there certainly was some negative ones. And,
but there were positive ones too?
Yeah. There was a guy like Ed McBride, who was a political science professor. I mean, he's not that he'd go around yelling and screaming on behalf of the athletic department, but he'd show up at the games. There's a lot of them. Burpee Howlett, as much as he might say about sports, he comes to the games. There's a lot of them who would not really come out and say, yes, I'm in favor of sports. They'll be at the games. And it depends on the age of the faculty, too. When your faculty's into their late 50s or 50s and 60s, they're not quite as keen on going to games as when they're in their 30s and 40s. No question about that. Particularly in that rank of ours, it's not exactly, if it happens to be a hockey game, they're not interested in going in there because it's a little chilly.
Well, that's about all I wanted to cover. Is there anything you can think that you'd like to?
There's many things I could think of, Angela, but right now I'm thinking about going on, putting that deck in the back of this house.
Okay.
But I certainly enjoy it.